Tips from the Top Floor, number 81, December 14th, 2005.
Here's another edition of Tips from the Top Floor, bringing you the best tips and tricks for your digital photography.
Are there so many shots of those brown cows and what they will do outside? Maybe the cow shots are only...
And here's your host, Chris Marquardt.
That was Kermit again, but you'll have to wait until Friday for the full version of that. Today we'll bring you the first part of an interview with Randall Schwartz, author of various books and many magazine articles about Pearl, and passionate documentary photographer. And if you hear a buzzing sound in the background, that's my PC. Seems like one of its fans has some issues. I definitely got to replace that, but until then it's buzzing in the background. Sorry for that. And here's one short piece of news. How would you like to automatically get an email once I publish a new show or new entry on the blog? Well, last week I found out about rmail.org. It's a free service that lets you subscribe to any RSS feed, and once a new entry is posted, it will automatically send you a mail. This can come in especially handy if you don't have an RSS reader, or if you want to make sure to not only get the Tips from the Top Floor podcast, but also the other blog entries that I occasionally post. So yeah, check it out. It's r-mail.org and it's free. I tested it and I really like it. And that was it for the news, and here's today's interview. If you've ever been a system administrator, or if you've been programming in any other way, chances are you touched on the language Perl and on the great book Learning Perl, which in fact was written by today's guest on the show, Randall Schwartz. Hey Randall, how are you?
Hi Chris, good to be on, thank you.
Now, that's not your only book, and there's definitely more to you than having written some books on Perl. And I usually leave it to my guests to do a bit of a more thorough introduction of themselves, so why don't you tell the listeners a bit about yourself?
Well, I'll start with the non-photographic part because we can focus on the photographic part later. I've been in the computer industry professionally for about 25 years, and I've kind of spread myself out because I have a short attention span. I've gone everything from writing to software engineering to system administration to security, network administration, training, and just kind of covered the whole gamut. And I bumped into the Perl world about 1989, right when it was sort of getting its start, and ended up writing the first authoritative book on Perl called Programming Perl. And from there, that led me to a couple of training gigs that got me the opportunity to write Learning Perl to follow that up with. And that's become the number one Perl training book in the world. And I also run a training company that bases its materials around that, so that we go in and go on site to almost anywhere in the world these days and produce a Perl training for whoever needs to have it done. But primarily a business owner now. I have people that work with me and for me and maybe even against me that basically produce what they need to produce, and we do Perl training, Perl consulting, just having a great time traveling all over the world. I've got about a 25-week-a-year travel schedule these days, so it's been pretty crazy.
So what's your company called?
Oh, Stonehenge. Sorry, Stonehenge. We go all the way to 11, I think, is the usual phrase. You have to see Spinal Tap to get that reference. But
I didn't get it.
Yeah. So it's a company name that, and it's funny because I picked the company name some 10 years before I went to the actual Stonehenge. And the first time I went there, of course, I have my company logo, and I was wearing my company hat and my company shirt, and I got some pictures. As typical in England, it was raining 45 degrees down sideways, and as I was taking pictures with my snapshot camera, my little point-and-shoot, those were the last six pictures that it took, but I've got a picture of me on my website now holding thumbs up in front of the real Stonehenge. And I go inside to the little bookstore, and I'm just excited because there's Stonehenge stuff all over the place, and it's my company name, and I'm Stonehenge.com. So I walk in there, and I see all this stuff, and I go up to the counter, and I say, this is so great. You know, I'm Stonehenge.com. This is Stonehenge stuff everywhere, and it's all really wonderful, and in perfect low-key British humor, the lady behind the counter says, oh, that's why you have your own hat, eh? It was just perfect. So loved it.
Okay. So, and I've actually known you for a long time. I've basically learned Perl from your books. And so I'm really proud to have you on the show.
This is
really
thank you.
Cool for me. Now, let's see. In terms of photography, and that's what we actually wanted to talk about, you have a whole lot of pictures online. I didn't even get into any depth there. I just looked at your archives, and on your website, you claim you have over 20,000 pictures online.
Oh, now, that's old. It's 44,000 now.
It's 44,000 now. I just wonder, don't you spend the whole day managing images, putting them out there, cropping them, editing them, putting captions there? How do you do that?
Oh, well, let me tell you first, I cheat. Okay, first I take a lot of pictures. One of the things that I do, like your upcoming cruise where you're actually getting to go on a ship and working with people and presenting that, I've been on a number of cruises for other technical subjects as well. And so when I started doing those, I started going, well, I should probably take some pictures to document what's happening here, both for my own personal recollection of all these wonderful places I'm getting to go all over the world, but also because other people would want to see what these cruises are about, to have some sense of whether or not they'd want to participate as well. And so my workflow is basically very simple, although it's slowly evolved over time. The basics is that I shoot a lot of pictures. I just shoot and shoot and shoot. Anything that looks different from the previous picture, I shoot again, because I'm mostly doing documentary work. And you know, it's important to know the difference between shooting for photojournalism versus, say, shooting for art. Most of the pictures on my website were not shot for art. They're shot for being a documentary of what's going on.
Right.
So I'll shoot a lot of pictures of different things, different places. I have one sort of bizarre thing that I don't like posed pictures. So I'm trying to always capture people sort of, you know, au naturel, exactly as they are, you know, cinema verite. I want to get that shot the way it actually was in the room so that you're seeing a window into my life through these little snapshots that I make. So at the end of an hour or two of shooting, I'll run back to my laptop and I have an external card reader that I'll suck the pictures off. I'll immediately drop them into a folder that's named with a date, and if it's morning or afternoon, and I think that's going to be important, I add that as well. At the end of a day, I'll take all the pictures, and I'm on a Mac, and I use this thing called ViewIt, which I find it was very cheap, like $25 or something, but it's very cool because it lets me quickly go through and delete the ones I don't like, rotate the ones that need to be rotated. It doesn't have any cropping facilities. It's mostly a picture sorter, so I'm really not doing any processing except rotation and deletion. And I delete with a light hand. I really figure that sooner or later there's some shot that I might have wanted that I don't want to accidentally delete. I take those and I put those into a staging folder for the trip, the day of the trip, you know, with a master folder of being the whole week of the trip. And when I get back to land, well, usually a week later or so, I take all those folders, I run it through a command line tool called, it comes with the Image Magic package called Mogrify. I work on a duplicate. I scale those all down to 1 megapixel or less. So now I have the originals, which I'll burn to DVD, and I have the 1 megapixel pictures in a separate folder. I then use rsync, another Unix command line tool, to push those up to my server. From there, I have a Perl tool. Of course, you knew Perl had to be in here somewhere. A Perl tool that goes through all those pictures, again using Image Magic, and creates the small thumbnails, the little 50 by 50s that show up on my website. And then I have another tool that looks for correlated thumbnails with the full-size pictures and builds an index so that when you actually go to the web pages, you see the index that's on there. And, of course, that's all in Perl as well. So the workflow is pretty minimal. Most of it is actually just CPU time these days. When I go out and shoot with my 20D, we've got 8-megapixel pictures, and if I shoot, you know, 300 or 400 of those in a day, which I've been known to do, it can take a good 3 hours on my 1.5 gigahertz machine to reduce it from 8-megapixel to 1-megapixel for uploading. So it's quite a CPU-intensive process to do that, and then another maybe 15 minutes to go from the 1-megapixel to the little thumbnails that show up on the website.
Wow, that's I'm blown away. That's the geek way of doing it, right?
It's right. Automate as much as possible because, you know, like I said, this is not about documentation. I mean, this is not about art. I'm really not shooting for art. I do shoot some shots for art lately. I've been sort of getting into some of that. But mostly what I'm shooting for is documentation. I want people to know where I've been, whether I'm on a cruise or whether I'm at a business conference or whether I'm at a client's location and just happens to be near Niagara Falls, so I shoot some shots of Niagara Falls. By getting around and kind of getting out of the, you know, into all these locations, I'm glad now that I have pictures from all over the world. For example, when we had 9/11 and the towers were blown up, I also try to put like a few keywords around, but I'm really sparse with my keywords, mostly just something significant, something important that kind of says the general place that I was. But I had a few pictures tagged as World Trade Center towers, and all of a sudden my website traffic spiked because everybody was Googling for more pictures of the World Trade Center towers. And so here I've got that on my website permanently now as something that I visited, stood at the base of, peered up in the fog at, taken pictures from the top of it. So these are tagged well enough that they're showing up in some searches, and I'm really glad I can contribute that sort of pictures back to the community that way. But yeah, I'm not shooting for art. I'm just shooting for documentation, and because of that, there's not a lot. I'm trying to minimize the amount of work I'm actually putting into it.
Right. So, what do you use more, your point and shoot or the digital SLR?
I take them both with me on the serious trips, but like I just did 4 days in San Diego for a computer conference, and because I'm trying to pack everything in carry-on, but I tell you that the wayward traveler has to know how to do everything in carry-on. Uh-huh. So because I did that, I don't have room for all my 20D and everything that's related to it, because I have like different lenses I want to take. I have a good long lens, good short lens, and I that just adds up to too much stuff. So all I took with me was my SD300. And I got, you know, probably a few dozen interesting pictures. I really didn't get a lot of pictures because I was mostly very busy. So I could have stood there all day and taken pictures of everybody that went by my exhibit booth. I think that probably would have been a really boring list, but it could have been fun, you know, maybe as something to do differently. But yeah, so I take the point and shoot with me everywhere. It's always in my pocket or in my coat. It's always, you know, somewhere with me. The 20D is often in the back seat of my car. So as I'm driving around, if I see something particularly interesting when I'm near my house, I can shoot that as well. And the 20D is always with me on the more serious trips where I know I'm going to be shooting some interesting scenes, especially places I haven't been to before.
Wow.
Silence. Anyway, yeah, you have to know when the silence is coming up. Otherwise, I'll just talk forever.
That's fine. That's fine. I'll jump in if I want you to stop.
Okay, sounds great.
So you take the point and shoot with you mostly for size reasons and be able to carry it along.
Yeah, but what I found though is that I'm actually using the point and shoot more as an art camera, because I sort of consider the 20D my industrial camera. I'm going to shoot shots with that are really going to capture the experience of what I'm seeing, and you know, and maybe some of the grand scale of things. What I'm noticing that I'm doing with the point and shoot is, even though it doesn't have all the creativity settings, it only has the 6 or 7 scenes that are on there, I'm still framing these shots more for the art, more for the unusual, more for the look of what's there, rather than just simply documenting that I went to 7-Eleven today. So you know, there's actually something to see when I'm shooting with my point and shoot these days, because I always have it with me. Now, luckily, I also have the 20D with me, so if something really interesting happens, like I just happen to be in the right place during you know, the magic hour where the light is perfect on a building or something, I've got my 20D with me and I can pull it out. But more frequently what I'll do is I'm at a stoplight, I'll just whip out the SD300, stick it through the window and snap that same shot. And I've got that shot, didn't have to get the 20D, didn't have to get out of the car and get all framed up. I shot it right out of my window. So it's a great way to capture those opportunities I found. So I'll never be without both kinds of cameras.
And that was part one of the interview with Randall Schwartz. Tune in again on Friday for part two, where Randall will not only continue to talk about his photography, but he'll also reveal the secret behind Kermit. Kermit, oh, I can do that. Oh, no. Definitely not as good. My name is Chris Marquardt. Thanks for tuning in today. Talk to you again on Friday, and happy shooting. I remember that you said it ain't as easy as it seems. Makes it easy to leave it all behind. Don't matter where you go. Don't matter where you go. If you ever been a system administrator of, or if blah, I can start right over again. I've actually written
take two.
I've written that thing down here, just the first introduction, so I don't stumble. And now I did. If you've ever been a system administrator, or if you've been programming in any other in.
Take three.
It's unbelievable. It usually doesn't happen. See, I'm very nervous to have you on this call.
Be sure to put all those outtakes at the end of the show.